Hello and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, John.
And we're back in the room.
We're back in the room. Yeah. We haven't been together to do one of these for over a year, actually.
No, I know. Yeah. No, isn't it a joy to be actually face to face again instead of on a Zoom?
And let's be honest with anybody who's listening to this, we have had a drink.
We have had a drink. We have more than one.
We have indeed.
We didn't share it with straws. We had a drink each.
We did.
Yeah, and we have more than one drink
each. We did.
Yeah. So this is recorded in the best of health. But not necessarily mentally in the best of health. But here we go. Yeah. And what we're going to discuss tonight is habits.
Habits.
And we're not talking about the times we were both monks.
No.
We're going to be talking about habits that we have picked up over our lifetime, which we still do today. And sometimes we think to ourselves, why did I do that?
Yes.
Why do I do that? And I wish I hadn't.
Oh, I definitely wish I hadn't with some of them. I mean, I think the fact that some of them have lasted since I was probably about sort of five or six as well. And that's the worrying thing, because even at the age we are now...
Is that like wetting yourself, that sort of thing?
No. But the age we are now, which, as I say to many people, in our eighth decade...
True.
You think to yourself, for goodness sake, will you not stop doing that now?
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. You don't have anybody to slap you on the wrist and say, stop it.
No. We could do with it, I think. Yes.
No, I know. You see, I mean, I have... do you have regular bedtime? David?
I think probably I do, really. I mean, I think force of habit, obviously.
Exactly.
I think I'm, well, certainly we normally go to bed around about 11 o'clock.
But this is the thing. I go to bed around 11 o'clock. Yeah. There's no particular reason.
No.
Except the weird thing about me is that now, I mean, when we're teenagers, you sleep in, don't you?
Mm.
You could sleep for England.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I can't do that any longer.
No.
And it's not because I lead any less active a life, because I'm quite active, but I find I sleep for 7 hours.
Seven hours would be a good one for me, because I would put myself more at 6 to 6.5.
But the weird thing is that if I go to bed at 11, I wake up at 6.
Yes.
If I go to bed at 12, I wake up at 7.
There you go. Yeah.
So whatever time I go to bed, I sleep for 7 hours.
Do you find that...
that's my body.
I was going to say, do you find that bodily functions make you sleep, shall we say, a truncated sleep?
Absolutely. Of course I do. Yes. I mean, we are both being in our eighth decade. You know, this is obviously an issue, and it does issue. You know, I can't sleep for more than 3 hours without waking up and needing to go to the...
Have you ever tried to sleep in like you did when you were a teenager? As in, lay in bed for a long time?
I get bored.
Oh, it's not so much the boredom, it's the backache that does me.
Yeah.
I get to a point where I think, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I just can't do it anymore. Whereas when I was 16, 17, the thought of, say, on a Sunday morning, getting up before about midday was beyond me.
So I could think we would both say that I wish I hadn't lost that ability to sleep for hours and hours and hours.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so I have to get up and come downstairs and then do the thing that is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly resent it, but it's kind of weird. I have to have 2 cups of tea.
Do you know, I think I knew that about you, John, because of various times that we've... holiday together or been together, you've often said that I've had my second cup of tea now,
and you see, if I don't do 2 cups of tea, I kind of miss it. You know, it's a thing. I wish I hadn't missed my second cup of tea. I think I don't know why. I mean, it's very odd, isn't it? That you just get into these ways. I don't even quite know when it developed. I haven't always done that.
I mean, I find that for me, I always was a tea person. You know, always brought up as a tea person, but I've become more of a coffee person in the mornings now. And I would miss the habit of having that first cup of coffee in the morning. Having said that, of course, the first cup of coffee and a cigarette when I was very young was fantastic. I
mean, well, that's the biggest habit of all, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the nicotine in the cigarette did that, but I'm assuming the caffeine in the coffee does it as well.
I guess so. It's a chemical dependency. Mm. I mean, maybe it is with tea as well, to a lesser extent. Mm. There's caffeine in it, but but you kicked smoking eventually.
Oh yeah, many years.
And I luckily never got into that habit, so I don't have to regret that one.
No, I think it was probably in the early 80s that I completely finished with it, with the demon cigarette, and I didn't miss it. I was one of the lucky ones who escaped the craving that some people still get even to this day. You know?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not so much chemical dependencies we're talking about here. It is more sort of illogical habits, isn't it? You know, and talking about tea, you see, I get to mid afternoon.
Mm.
I get to mid morning, and I think coffee time is between 10 and 11. I have a biological clock that tells me it's time to drink a cup of coffee. It's not a need for caffeine. It's you know, rather like a dog knowing it's time for its walk.
Do you think it's that your taste buds? Your taste buds say to you, I need a coffee now. I need that tang of coffee.
I don't know what it is. It seems slightly pathetic, and so I wish I hadn't got that sort of dependency upon time.
You see, having been in the education sector for all of my working career, and I've now been retired from it for probably nearly 9 years now, I still find that as 12 o'clock midday approaches, I'm starving hungry.
Yeah.
Because I had 41 years of having lunch at 12 o'clock.
Yep.
Whether it was with children in a dining hall, or sandwiches in a staff room at 12 o'clock, my stomach says, food now, please, I need it.
Yeah.
And even now, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, at 12 o'clock, I'm hungry.
And also, you have to go and find some children to eat it with. maybe that's inappropriate.
Thankfully not.
Okay.
In fact, I think, if I'm honest about it, I think I enjoyed the staff room lunch rather than the dining room lunch far more, because
I'm sure
you never felt if you had your lunch in a dining hall or canteen with children, you never felt that you'd switched off from being on duty.
No.
Whereas in a staff room, you could sit. And talking of habits, I had the same sandwich for the majority of my teaching career.
Okay, reveal what it was.
The sandwich was two slices of bread, normally a wholemeal bread, but sometimes white, with a slice of corned beef and cheese.
Okay.
And that was my sandwich every day for many, many years. Now, it was only when my wife pointed out to me that corned beef had 10 times the amount of salt in it that ham does, that I changed that. Right. And surprisingly, at that point, my blood pressure was quite high. And there's definitely a link between the salt in the corned beef and my high blood pressure.
Really?
And once I went to ham or just plain cheese, amazingly, it dropped.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, there you are. That's just the force of habit then. The same
of habit, if I take you back to our school days when we used to be in the sixth form flat,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, but through habit, most days I brought with me a hard-boiled egg.
I remember this so well, and I know what you did with it.
Butter. And rather than mundanely cracking the shell on the table next to me, I would always throw it in the air and head it so that the shell cracked. And I could then peel it off.
On your head.
I knew you'd remember it.
Luckily, your skull never cracked.
No.
It was always the egg that gave way first.
I think occasionally the egg would not just crack and be able to catch it. It would often roll under some table and pick up dust and bits of pencil shavings and things like that.
I think we expected it every day. It was a habit in the sixth form that we all sat around waiting for you to produce your boiled egg and throw it into the air on the top of your head.
Straight up in the
air.
And
we couldn't finish our meal until we witnessed you do that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never been stuck with the same thing. I mean, I have dietary habits, you know, that I only have one main meal. I have breakfast and I have one main meal a day, and the other meal is always like a sandwich. And, yes. You know. But I do have the habit that when I get to mid-afternoon, in a rather sort of British colonial sense, and it's tea time, you know, old empire days.
Does a bell ring?
Bell rings, yeah, a gong sounds, and I know it's time for tea. But I can't just have a cup of tea. I instantly think to myself, I have to eat something with it. Mm. A cucumber sandwich, of course, would be the ideal thing, but it's many, many years since I've had one of them.
Of course.
But it might be a crumpet. Or a muffin or something like that, but a cup of tea is not the same without a tea time snack.
No, that's very true. I mean, looking at, you know, food and drink together, I often find that if I've been out in the evening and had the odd glass of beer, when I get back, however much I try not to, and knowing that it's late at night and I shouldn't eat late,
yeah,
I have to have something to eat.
It's the munchies, isn't it?
It's the munchies, yeah, from the beer. Now, sometimes it could be, I mean, recently it's been a handful of cashew nuts, and that's not too bad. Mm. Sometimes it will be a bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when it's definitely two pieces of cheese on toast, which is ridiculous because I'm about to go to bed to try and get my 6.5 hours sleep. And there's every chance I would dream ridiculous dreams.
Cheese dreams. Exactly, yeah. Totally. But in the past, of course, I mean, having had all those pints, one would go to the Chinese restaurant.
One would, yes.
Or the Indian.
Yes.
And buy and order something expensive, which you probably wouldn't even end up eating.
No, that's very true.
And it was force of habit that was the way you went, because you could get alcohol in the Chinese or Indian restaurant.
Yes.
It enabled you to go on drinking after the pubs close.
In our youth, of course, we would go to the chip shop and
the chip
look
shop
at the Savoy's.
You didn't always have to go to the chip shop just to look at the Savoy's.
Or the spicy sausage.
The long hot throbbing masses, as they were called, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, there are many, many things that I kind of have been stuck with as habits that I kind of wish I didn't have any longer.
Do you have any habits with clothing at all? I do.
Sometimes the order in which you put your clothing on.
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly what I was aiming at.
I mean,
at there,
I tend,
yes.
I find it's usually helpful to put your pants on first. Because
yes,
if you put them on afterwards, it just looks silly.
You're
it?
Superman, basically.
Exactly.
Yes, the only one who does that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's pants first and then socks.
Yes, I agree. Pants first, then socks. Now, socks.
Socks?
Which foot first?
Ooh, now that's an interesting question.
Because I do have something I have to do.
Do you?
Which is left foot first.
Really?
Left foot first, and it's the same with my shoes.
Okay.
Left foot first.
I think I put my left foot sock on first. I'm not so choosy about shoes.
John, I wish I hadn't got that habit, because I find there have been times when absent-mindedly I've put them on the wrong way around and I've felt uncomfortable.
Do you think that brings bad luck?
I think possibly something in my head is saying, oh, that's bad luck, you've not done it the same way as you normally do. There is no basis to it.
No,
but
precisely that.
There have been times when I've then had to take my socks back off again just to put the left foot back on.
Well, I know that. Also the number of times you do something.
Yeah.
You know, you do something a set number of times. This is the OCD basis, isn't it, really?
I suppose it is, really, but I've never quite got that far.
I haven't either, but sometimes, you know, and I think it also works with sometimes, you know, you can be listening to or watching sports on television, and you think, if I switch it off and go in the other room,
oh, yes,
a wicket will fall.
Yes.
You know,
yes, indeed, yeah.
That is that kind of strange superstition in the head, isn't it?
I think that's probably started for me with going to watch test matches in the days before big screens and replays and then all having to watch highlights at home, where I have been sent to get a round of beers in, and as you walk down the steps towards the bar, there's a big roar goes up because the wicket has fallen.
Yes.
And you think, I've missed that. I wanted to see that live. If I'm lucky, I'll see it on some highlights tonight. But otherwise, it's just happened and I've missed it. I paid money and missed it.
So these are the things we do. And you kind of wish that you weren't superstitious enough to believe you do them. But you still do them. Mm. And it's the magpie thing. You know, if I see a magpie, single magpie, hello, Mr. Magpie, how are the wife and kids?
Absolutely. I mean, we all have a variation of it. Mine's morning, Mr. Magpie, how's your wife today?
Yeah.
But I've always had to say it three times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Now, that, I think, is from my father. I think that was something he taught us. Right. And I still do it now if it's a single magpie. Now, the problem with that is there's a certain time of the year when you only see single magpies because the female is on the nest somewhere hatching eggs.
And sometimes you see a single magpie, but then when you've said it, another one appears. Yeah. And you think, does that invalidate the first one?
Did you ever do the ambulance one?
No.
The ambulance one was another one that my dear father taught us. He said, when you see an ambulance, you have to hold your collar until you see a four-legged animal.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that one was fine because where we lived, there were often dogs or cats around, or cows or sheep.
Uh-huh.
The problem is when you're near an A&E, because you end up constantly holding your collar and looking around for a different dog, because bloody ambulances keep pulling up into the
well, maybe a new habit should be to always carry a quadruped with you. So every time you're passing by a hospital, you've got a cow in the back, you know.
Well,
no, that's a new one to me. I've never known.
That one is. I think it's less known than the magpie one, but I still do it.
People,
no, that's one I've got out of the habit of. But the magpie one, that becomes something automatic.
It does. It's stupid, isn't it? Yeah. Because you know it's stupid. Mm. And you kind of resent the fact that you're doing it.
And of course, the opposite of it is when you see two magpies, you think, oh, that's lucky.
Yes.
That's good.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you go off on the, you know, if you see a load of them and there's three or four or whatever, you start going through the honour, one for sorrow, two for joy, and so on. And then you get to, you know, we're at an age now and you think, three for a girl or whatever, and you think, well, what's that got to do with anything I'm doing at the moment?
Mm.
So,
Another work one I had, of course, I mean, my latter career was, you know, connected with streetlights that failed.
I remember.
So I now...
When you used to go out scouting, John,
Scouting, that's right, yeah. But I now cannot pass a streetlight that isn't working without noticing it. I notice faults all the... You can't stop that. Mm. It's a habit. I wish I didn't have it because it's just tiresome. I see a sign that's not working, I think to myself, ooh, and I notice its number. But that is just such an annoying habit, and I want to rid myself of that. And it's years since I've done that now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and you need to tell yourself, no, it's nothing to do with you anymore.
I know.
It's a bit like me and my hangover from teaching is that if I'm in a town anywhere or a supermarket on what I know is a school day, and I see a parent with a child who is of school age, I have a desperate urge to say, no school today.
Where are you going with this?
No school today.
Okay.
Oh, is the school closed? Right. No, is it training day? I don't do it.
That's the teacher in you.
But I think I think to myself, you should be in school. And there's probably a very good reason why that child's not there. But I've immediately, in my mind, immediately, that's just a truant.
Yes.
Who should be at school and isn't.
Yeah.
Can't be dealing with it.
That's true. That's a habit that you wish you didn't have. Yeah.
Do you? I mean, this is a weird one that came to me while we were thinking about habits. When people shake hands, okay. Now, we shook hands when we met again today.
Yeah.
Sometimes we give each other a hug because we've known each other a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But we will shake hands in a very masculine, ordinary British way of the traditional handshake.
Yes.
Now, having performed and been in musical theatre as a hobby, there are certain individuals that I know as good friends who our handshake is always the sort of inverted one where the thumbs are
I know,
up.
Yes.
And I always call it the Litchfield handshake because that's the first group of people that shook hands, men, that like that.
I've never done that with anybody.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there are people there who shake hands always would shake hands that way. There's another group I used to be in. We always shake hands in the traditional way. Mm. Now, the problem is when you meet someone who's in both societies, because you walk towards each other and thumbs are twitching.
Yes.
And you're not quite sure which way you're going to actually shake hands.
Yeah.
Because the habit is, oh, it's got to be that way or that way. So you end up with a sort of a feeble, limp sort of flapping of hands towards each other if you're not careful.
I can see that as a dilemma. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a habit of punctuality.
Oh, right,
I don't
yes.
particularly resent that. Other people resent it.
Mm.
I've known people who've become enraged by the fact that I always turn up on time.
Yes.
I'm never late. They really hate it. I've always learned to be tolerant of other people who are unpunctual.
Mm.
And I've had some friends who can be famously late, you know, hours, even half a day late. And I'm accepting of that. But somehow it seems to annoy other people if I turn up on time, because they can't turn up on time.
Mm.
I suppose it's a bit of a, you know, it is a habit, because I like to be punctual.
Mm.
And I kind of wish in a way that I wasn't always so keen to be punctual, because it does seem to annoy people, funnily enough.
I mean, I suppose my working life was regimented, and in that it was tended to be controlled by bells.
Yes.
I mean, and those bells went at certain times every day.
Mm.
And so therefore I am reasonably punctual. I hate the thought of turning up to a theatre performance, a cinema performance, whatever it might be, late.
Yeah.
Having said that, on the first date with my wife, I was so late that she was sat in a cinema foyer with the cinema staff looking very sadly at her, thinking, oh dear, that poor girl's been stood up.
Why were you late?
I was late because I assumed that it would take me a certain number of minutes to get to drive to where this cinema was, when in fact it was probably about 15 minutes more than
that's
that.
That's a big I wish I hadn't.
Now, the problem with that was, I mean, there was obviously a problem. I did turn up and we're still together, which is fine.
Mm.
The problem for the film was that something happened in the very beginning of this film which explained why what happened at the end, which seemed really stupid,
okay,
was made sense. Now, we missed that when we went in to see this film. It was a Tom Cruise film, as it happens. And so when it finished, you could hear the whole audience going, oh, and we went, what? Because it didn't make sense.
Well,
at all,
aren't you lucky that she waited there for you and didn't
very,
storm
very
off in
fortunate,
enough.
Yes. She often reminds me of the fact that she was thought of as the poor wallflower who'd been stood up on this date, and in fact, it wasn't to be. I was actually there. So yeah.
Did you have to go and see the film again to find
no,
out?
No, I saw we saw it on the television a number of years afterwards, and both went at the end. Oh,
so it made sense. Yeah. No, habits are funny things, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we were talking earlier, you know, that being of a certain age, we now have the habit of see loo, use loo.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
You never pass by a gentleman's lavatory without going into it.
Yeah.
Even if you've been 5 minutes before, you think, might as well just have another one.
Just in case.
And there's always something to produce. You know, in fact, I read recently that there is now an app, and I downloaded it onto my phone. I haven't used it yet, where if you are in any given place in the world, you can go onto this app and find where the nearest conveniences.
Are you sure this is for people with weak bladders, John? Are you sure there's not some other reason
no,
for this?
No, really. I think it's called Flush or something like that.
Not Flash.
No, I haven't had a chance to test it, but you know, I wish I didn't have a weak bladder, you know, which is just age, you know. I really wish I didn't have that. But I do, I have to be constantly conscious.
Yeah,
and that's a tedious thing.
And I think also we are of the age where if you, as they say, break the seal, that's the worst thing you can do. When you've had a couple of beers or whatever, you can normally manage quite a long time before you need the loo.
That's right.
Once you break the seal,
Yeah, that's it for the day.
Constant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any more habits, John? I'm sure there are more, but I've sort of almost run out of habits now that I can think of immediately.
I don't think there are. I mean, there's one other one that kind of annoys me that I wish I didn't have, and that is the earworms.
Oh, yes.
It's not really a habit, but if you get a song in your head and you cannot get it out of your head, I really wish I didn't have that.
Yes.
I'm not sure that would be a habit. I'm not sure quite what it would come under. No. Sometimes I wake up with a song in my head.
Yes. But it's never a song you want to have in your head, is it?
No.
It's often one that you think, I don't like that song.
No.
Why am I still singing it?
Yeah. And because of walking a lot, as I do, you tend to fit, the song fits the pattern of your steps.
Pattern, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you think, oh, it's maddening. You want to get it out of your head.
Yeah.
You have to have a safety song.
Yes, that you can go to, yes.
You can go to. When you think of the safety song which you like, it tends to drive the other song out of your head.
Yes, that's a good idea. I mean, on the same thing, I mean, you walk, I play golf, which is like 4 hours of walking around a golf course. And if I have a song, an earworm in my head at the beginning, it will often be there for the next whole of the round, unless I can get something else in.
And it can be maddening, can't it?
And the only way I tend to find that another song will come into my head is that someone, as we're chatting, will say a phrase that reminds me of a different song.
Yes.
And if they say a phrase that reminds me of a different song, then often, then that one can be... The trouble is, if you think about the summer and the conditions on a golf course, this is very boring, but... The condition, it's very hard and dry now.
Mm-hmm.
So a ball will, if you hit it well, will roll. Mm-hmm. And it will keep rolling, rolling, rolling. And then the theme tune to Wagon Train comes into my head. And that's it for the next hour.
Yeah.
Wagon Train is it. But sometimes it's better than what's been in it at the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a big I wish I did. Because I don't think I've always done that. I think that's been a thing that's been in later life.
I mean, happily, and you'll appreciate this, because yesterday when I was playing golf, someone said to the ball as they hit it, they said, run, run, run.
Oh, yes, Jojo.
And
Gun.
I immediately started, in my mind, singing Jojo Gun's Run, Run, Run. And I didn't mind that, because I thought, that's a good song. You know.
But is this thing that you think that's happened later in life? Because I don't remember doing it when I was
think
younger.
It is. I think it is.
Earworms
no.
When I was younger.
No, it'd be interesting to, if other people said, oh, you know, we were to come... contact and say, yes, yeah, I've got exactly the same thing.
Yes,
but, yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I think other people suffer from this, presumably.
Yes,
it just shows how habit-bound we are, doesn't it?
Oh,
really?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Old
and
habits.
I still think we've only really scratched the surface of the habits we actually have.
The surface, yeah, but maybe that's enough for today.
Oh, I think so, yes. I think we've covered habits.
I mean, we laid the genie off last time, if you remember. He didn't
maybe
have a job.
Time they came back to work then.
Maybe
really,
they
can. Yes.
There's a lot of stuff for them to deal with here.
I think. I really would like, and it's a simple one, but I'd like the genie to take away the desire to always speak to magpies, because there are so many of them around. They're always going to be around. That's going to follow us to our graves otherwise.
I think it probably will. I think I would like the genie to remove the need to always be conscious where the next loo is.
Yeah.
Because that's very, very tiresome. I don't really want to be aware of that. I want to carry on my life without needing to think about my bladder.
Yeah.
So please, genie, you know, make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe there will be more on habits, I don't know, but for now I think we've
covered
it.
I think that'll cover us, yeah.
Yeah.